Praise the Lord. We'll read a scripture to you tonight. If you'll believe God with me, I got a few things that I want to share with you that the Lord has laid on my heart that we'll just believe for utterance by the Holy Spirit that we'll be able to share the things that we need to and get those things out. Got lots of notes here, probably more than I need. We'll stick to them as best we can, but we'll be led. Is that all right? So Matthew 5, beginning with verse 13 through verse 19, it's Jesus said this. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The other day, one of the classes that I have the privilege of teaching here at Rhema is personal evangelism. And the other day, I'd been going over some of my notes, and I'd been meditating on some of these things, and this scripture came up, and I was reminded of a time a number of years ago when I was in high school where back home we called it, like, you know, people that aren't from Kentucky call it spelunking. Back home we called it cave diving. It's the same thing. It's just, you know, people from the city know how to say it better, I guess. I don't know. But we would go into caves and do some exploring, and there are lots of caves that you can have a tour guide in Kentucky, but there are other caves that don't have tour guides, and you can just go in those caves at will, just go in by yourself. And there was one particular cave, I told the students the other day, I thought when I was in high school that it was okay that we were going in there without permission. Everybody was like, "Oh, this farmer doesn't care that we come on his property and we go." But I did realize as I got older that we were always going at midnight. And so maybe he did care. I don't know. But this one particular cave, we would go in, we would, you know, we'd get bored hanging out or whatever. We'd be at the local gas station hanging out in front of it with my friends, and they'd say, "Hey, let's go cave diving." And we'd go to this place called Smithland Caves. And I remember going in there one evening, and we all would take our flashlights with us. We would crawl through the little hole to get inside there and look at the bats and all the other things that you would find in there, put your flashlight on them. A couple of places in there, real tight spaces. I told the students, I said, you know, there was one spot that was like a little tunnel. If you had your hands above you, that's where they stayed while you crawled through it. And if they were down to your side, that's where they would stay and you would push yourself through. I didn't care much for it either way, honestly, but you know, you didn't want to look like you were not tough in front of your friends. And I mean, obviously looking at me, you can tell tough is not a problem for me. That was really only for my own ego, my benefit. So I'm sorry. There was this one particular part of the cave that you would go across some kind of little opening that I don't even know how deep it was, but you would have to put your hands on both sides. It was only, you know, it was a real narrow spot. It was wide enough you could fall in it, but not so wide that you could put like a car in there. And so you would walk across with your hands and kind of move your way across it with nothing underneath you as far as you could tell. You know, we'd drop things down there and listen, never heard anything, so I don't know how far it was. But in order to do that, you had to put your light in your mouth so you could hold on to it as you were crawling across. And I don't know, I do talk a lot, so maybe nobody was asking me a question, but my mouth was open and I dropped my light and I saw it go down in the hole and it just kept going and going until I couldn't see it anymore. I don't know if it hit the ground and the bulb burst or what. I didn't hear it, but I knew I didn't have it anymore. And immediately it was dark. The guy in front of me was holding his flashlight in the same way. And I immediately thought, "Dear God, don't let him drop that light too." Because it's way too dark to get out of here without that light. And so for the rest of the time that we were in that cave, and we didn't stay very long after that because I didn't have a backup. I learned to get a backup after that. But I want you to know I was on that dude, as they say back home, like a duck on a June bug. He and I were closer than we had ever been. I wanted to help him hold his light to steady it. Because when you're in the dark, you realize the value of a light. Isn't that right? We're called to be a light in this world. And it's really no wonder that Jesus would say that, because this world can be pretty dark. And when you're in the darkness, you need a light to find your way. We're called to take the light of the gospel into the world that's engulfed in darkness. We're to take our light and we're to let it shine before men. The scripture says so that they'll see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But when you're in darkness, there's a great need for you to have a light. Jesus is describing in that passage the beneficial nature for mankind having the church or the body of Christ in the world. There's great value for you and I being in this world. This evening, I want us to look at what it means to put the go in our gospel. How can we as believers increase our effectiveness in reaching the world for the kingdom of God? So the other day, I was giving some statistics to my class, and one of them really stuck out to me. It said that the average person lives 80 years. Now, I'd like to think of myself as above average, and the closer I get to 80, I really want to think of myself above average. But 80 years is only 960 months. 960 months doesn't seem like a lot of time, especially when you consider that I'm 49 years young, and I've spent 588 of them already. So when I look at a statistic like that, I take some inventory about where I am in my life and what I've done with my life. What have I done with my 960 months? If that's all I've got, now 90 is 1080. So, you know, I'm okay with, you know, 90, 1080. I'm okay with adding a few more. We can live longer than that. I said one time to somebody, I said, really? I said, you could live to be 120. I'd like to live to be 120. And they said, oh, not me. My friends will all be gone. I said, I can make new friends. Amen. We want to stick around as long as we can. But if you only live to the average age, 960 would be all the months that you had. And what we fill those months with makes all the difference. There's some things that we need to be doing in this earth in the time that we have on this earth. Amen. Here's a statement that I first heard from this platform, 2005. It was February the 24th. It was a Thursday evening, and it was a winter Bible seminar, and you'll know that a Thursday evening is Rhema Day. And Pastor Hagen was talking about the Rhema family. He said the Rhema, the global network. And he made this statement. He said, the world is waiting for someone to come to them with the message of faith. The world is waiting for someone to come to them with the message of faith. I thought about that statement over the years. I mean, that's been a long time ago. I was a student then. A little thinner. A lot thinner. I was a younger man. I turned 30 when I was a Rhema student. I was here. But over the years, I've thought about that statement. Recently, I went back and listened to that message again. But I thought about that. The world is waiting for someone to come to them. And ladies and gentlemen, the ones that are supposed to go to them are the ones that have the go on the inside. We're all called to go into this world. People are searching for answers for all the problems they're facing. When you look at the world, many people are looking for freedom from addictions, searching for relationship help, better physical health, a cure for their identity crisis. Some are searching for financial stability. Many people just want to find peace. But they're all looking for something. So much, in fact, they don't understand what it is that we know, but they're looking for something. So much, in fact, this is a recent statistic about the global self-improvement market. The statistic I read said that the market is poised for significant growth between the years of 2023. So that's when the statistic was from, 2023 to 2032. It said the market for self-improvement is expected to achieve a compound annual growth rate of approximately 8% during this period. In 2023, the market was valued at $41.2 billion. It was projected to reach by 2032, $81.6 billion. Does the world want to improve? The world wants to improve to the tune of about $41 billion. They're seeking for their lives to be better. They want to see some improvement in their lives. So that's good news for the church. Isn't that right? Because it means that not only Jesus tells us to go into all the world, but he gave us a message that provides the answers that people need. This void in their life, you've heard it said before, is a God-sized hole that only he can fill. They're waiting, they're searching, they're looking for somebody to come to them. Many people are crying out, they're going to their therapist, they're getting online and talking about it. They're looking everywhere saying there's got to be something better than what I'm facing right now. There's got to be more to life. What I'm dealing with right now can't be all there is. And all of you know that that's the truth. That's the primary thrust of the good news that we received, that we would take what we receive and then we would go into all the world with it. That we would receive this difference that Jesus made in our lives. How many of you know Jesus made a big difference in your life? You're a lot better today than you were before you met him. Isn't that right? I'm here to tell you today, yeah, if you don't like me now, I'm sorry. But if you like me now, I'm telling you, you may not have liked me before Jesus got a hold of me. I'm looking to see if my wife is saying amen. I say between the girl that God gave me and Jesus, man, they've really done a good work in me. Glory to God. I love you, girl. Jesus gave us directions to go, but it's up to us whether or not we do it. You know, a number of years ago, this really hit home for me. When I was a student, I had a friend that I grew up with. He was kind of a rounder. He was a pretty rough guy, if you don't know what a rounder means. He was just kind of rough around the edges, didn't have a whole lot of upbringing, wasn't raised real well, had family issues, marital problems for his parents, and just lots of difficulties in his life. I was a little Pentecostal kid, and I mean, I was hanging out with him, and I wasn't doing everything I ought to do right, but I mean, I knew to do better, that's for sure. Well, we had been friends for years, and when I rededicated my life to the Lord, he and I would go see him. He lived near where my grandparents lived. And so when I would go home, he was we were elementary school and middle school friends, but I would always go by to see him. I would always go in to check on him and stuff. And his life, was kind of a mess, had lots of things going on in his family, even as he was growing up, as he was becoming an adult. Well, Jesus had done something different in my life. I can remember one time I was on my way home. I was going home for a visit, and I was a Rhema student, and I was driving down the road, and I saw a place it was a restaurant, and it had the same name as this guy had. It had his name on it. And so I called him up on my Nokia 8600, that old brick phone. I called him up in the evening, and I was just checking on him. Hey, how you doing, man? How things been going? I'm coming home for Christmas. Thought I might come by to see you. And he was like, yeah, great. He said, what are you doing now, man? And I said, well, I'm in Bible college. I said, I'm out in Oklahoma, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he said, no, expletive, and said this word. And I was like, yeah, really, that's where I'm at, man. He's like, yeah, I'd love to see you. So I went home and I saw him, and we would talk periodically like that. It wasn't just a few years after I had graduated Rhema, I got a call one day, And it was from my aunt, and she said that he had been in a really bad car accident, and the way that he had gotten in the car accident, I won't go into all the details, but he had gotten into an argument with another guy. They were arguing about something, and they got mad, and they were like, well, just take me home. And so they both were going so that the one guy could get in his car. He got home, and he literally, the last words that he said to his wife were, hold my beer, I'm going after this guy. Got in his car and went to chase him, hit another car head on, and died, they said, nearly instantly. Now, I don't know if anybody else ever told him about Jesus, but I know I didn't. And it helped me to want to make a decision that in my life that I didn't want anybody within my sphere of influence to never not hear me talk about my faith and share my faith. I didn't want to question whether or not, you know, it's interesting, all the things that the Lord has done for me, all of the things that he's provided for me, the blessings, the wonderful life that I have, the good things, all of those things that I have, the best thing that I ever received was salvation through Jesus Christ. It should be the top of the list when it's things that I'm sharing with people. You know, the things that I have, I can't take any of it with me when I go. The only thing that we can take with us when we go is people. And I can't imagine anybody that's in my sphere of influence not hearing me talk about Jesus. Not hearing me share my faith. I pray someone else was more diligent than I was. I don't bear all of the burden for everything that happened in this man's life, but I do know this, I could have said something. I could have shared my faith. Things could have been different. Isn't that right? I'll tell you another story on me that makes me look a whole lot better. Years later, after I'd been serving the Lord for a long time, my brother and I, you know, as we were growing up, we had backslid, left the Lord, kind of turned our back on him. I mean, we ran like scalded dogs. We were trying everything we could to get away from the Lord when we were in high school. We were just kind of dipsticks, really. Well, I'll only speak for me. I was a dipstick. He was my brother, brother of the dipstick. So, but my wife, as I said, her and the Lord got a hold of me and really cleaned me up. Her and a bunch of denominational folks in the denomination she was raised in loved me back into the kingdom of God. And I never shared that with my brother. He knew I was going to church, but I never talked to my brother about it. It was kind of hands off. We'd go hunting, we'd go fishing, until I ended up, a few years later, I ended up dealing with a sickness, and I thought, this is the only reason I shared. So this doesn't make me sound all that great, but it's better than the last one, okay? I got sick, and I thought I was dying. And I can remember calling my brother one night, and the reason that I called him is because I wanted to talk to him about my faith, and I wanted to share with him the faith of our youth. I wanted to know that he had rededicated his life because I couldn't bear the thought of me dying and spending eternity without my brother. He's a missionary today. He's a Rhema graduate. He's doing quite well. His family's saved. They're in ministry. He rededicated his life that night on the phone. He cried. I cried. Glory to God. But I didn't want I couldn't take the idea of somebody that I know not hearing the gospel because I didn't put my feet on go. Because I didn't get myself in gear. Because I didn't share my faith. Praise the Lord. Y'all still doing okay? I didn't even look at the clock. All right. I'm not going to look at it again. Jesus gave us direction to go in Matthew 28:19-20. It says this. It says, therefore, you know the scripture, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I heard this quote, as I said, I teach the class personal evangelism, and I was able to get some notes that Reverend Doc Horton, if you've ever heard that name before, he used to have that class a long time ago, and I was looking through some of his notes, and this note was in there that I thought was such a great quote. He said, it's not our responsibility to bring everyone to Christ. He said, but it's our responsibility to bring Christ to everyone. We're not going to bring everybody to the Lord. We're not going to get everybody saved. But our responsibility is to take Jesus to all of them. Our responsibility is, because Jesus gave us this go, this command to go and to do. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I know I'm preaching to the choir when I'm talking to Rhema folks, because you're all here because somebody got to go. Isn't that right? And the world was waiting for someone to come to them with the message of faith. And from this place, people go all over the world and they're taking the gospel. But oftentimes what we forget about, and we live here in this local area, that there's a whole community that's still part of the world that's right here where we live. You know, there are people that if they left the earth right now, you realize this statistically, that every second to 1.97, I don't know how they figure that out, but roughly two people die every second. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006. Two people every second. Two people every second leave this earth. Many of them without Jesus in their life, and some of them are shopping at Walmart right now. Some of them work with you. Some of them live in your neighborhood. There are people all over. You might say, well, you know, this is Tulsa. There's probably, you know, everybody here is born again. Not from the way some of these folks is driving. That's all I'm saying about that. Wherever you're at in this community, if you're watching online, wherever you're at in your community, you rest assured that there is somebody in your sphere of influence that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't know he can bring victory over whatever circumstance they're facing, including a devil's hell. There's somebody that you and I can reach wherever we're at for the kingdom of God at any given time. Notice Jesus said that we're to go and make disciples and to teach them. Wherever we work, wherever we shop, we're to carry a message of hope that life can be better and that there's something beyond this 960 months. That there's something different that goes beyond, that there's an eternity. I tell the students all the time, I remind them, they probably maybe ad nauseum, but I remind them all the time that I don't have to know every answer to share the gospel. All I have to do is tell them about my changed life. They can, you know, you can ask me a question about the Bible, and I reserve the right to say to you, I don't know. I don't know. But let me tell you what I do know. I put what the Word of God said about Jesus into practice in my life. I believed on him and I accepted him. And Rob Betts is a new man today because Jesus changed my life. And if he'll change my life, the kind of dipstick dirt bag that I was, well, y'all all seem like nice people. I'm sure he'll do something for you too. Amen? We don't have to have every answer. All we have to have is one answer, and that's Jesus. Jesus said we're to go and we're to make disciples. The understood then is this: if we don't go, then it doesn't get done. You know, we're the only ones that were given this ministry. The angels don't preach the gospel, right? Nobody else has got, I've never had a dog come up to me. I'm not being sacrilegious. I've never had a dog come up to me and preach the gospel. No cat has ever told me anything. We're the mammals with articulate speech, and God gave us the message and he said, go. Amen. So if we don't go, it doesn't get done. Romans 10, 9 through 14, the NLT says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Scripture's not referring here to pastors and evangelists or missionaries or teachers. It includes them, but it doesn't exclude any of us. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The next verse says, verse 15 says, how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. If the world is searching for answers and we have them, then the feet that carry that message carry good news. If you're working out in the hot sun and somebody comes up to you with water, you're like, oh, here comes some beautiful feet. If you're hungry and destitute, you're neat, man, I haven't eaten all day, and someone comes up to you with a bag of Chick-fil-A, you're like, look at them beautiful feet. If you have no peace, if you're sick in your body, if you feel like your whole life is falling apart, if you feel like nothing is good in this world and nothing will ever be good beyond, you can't see beyond the problems you're facing, and somebody comes to you and says, I've got some answers for you. Let me share something with you that changed my life. Guess what? You got some beautiful feet. Oh, glory to God. If the world is searching for answers and we have them, then we're to carry that message. And when we do, we've got beautiful feet. The direction to go is clear, but it's the responsibility of every believer to go. We have to choose to go. We have to say yes to going. There are lots of ways to proclaim or share our faith, but it requires an understanding of the value that's placed on our message. The message that we carry, you know, it's one thing for us to know that our salvation is good for us, but it's another thing to value what we have so much that we got to share it with somebody else. You know in your own life how valuable it was that you accepted Jesus, but I don't know about you. When I find something that's got great value just in this world, if I find a good restaurant to eat at, you want to know where to eat some good Cajun food? Just ask me. Right? You want to know where to get a good deal on a vehicle, or where you want to find a good mechanic? You want to find a great place to take your family on vacation? You just ask me. You want to find out where to go fishing or hunting? You find your own spot. No, I'm just kidding. I got them. In the natural, you find something of value, you share that. What about the most precious thing that we've ever found? And that's this relationship with our Lord Jesus. We ought to be telling everybody that we come in contact with, hey, my life is different today. My life is better today because Jesus is in it. I was sick and he healed my body. My mind was a mess, but he cleared all those things up and I got peace, glory to God, flowing like a river. Things are different. My marriage was falling apart, but Jesus came in and changed my life. My kids was acting like dipsticks, but they're different today because Jesus came into Rob Bett's house and they're better than they were before. Let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. Oh, glory. That's a message that changes people's lives. But if we don't know the value of what we have, we'll never share it. We have to recognize that what we take this message is the answer. Jesus is still the answer for whatever it is that man or woman, boy or child is dealing with in this earth right now. It's Jesus that will change their life. The same Jesus that brought you out, the same Jesus that freed you and I, the same Jesus that gives us victory is the same Jesus that'll help people that are messed up and caught up in sin right now and don't don't know what they're going to do, but if they get Jesus in their life, glory to God, they'll have better than they ever had before in this life and in the life to come, eternal. Glory to God. It's the most important thing that we can share with people is our faith that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is still the one that frees us. He's still the one that'll bring us out. He's still the one that'll bring us through. Every time, Jesus is still the answer. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm out of time, I bet, huh? Oh, I said I wouldn't even look at that thing. Get behind me, clock. Oftentimes people fail to recognize the value of their faith, and so they don't share it. Many times people consider the cost too great. Well, I just don't want to offend anybody. Or maybe they'll think I'm dumb because of what I'm talking about. Look, right now the world thinks nothing created everything. We are not the ones with the theology problem. You can make fun of me all you want to, but if nothing created everything, and then when you leave here, you go back to nothing, sounds like you got a God. But whatever it is, ain't nothing. We are not the ones with a theology problem. Amen. I am not ashamed of this gospel that we preach. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We can go into any conversation with the power of the gospel that changed our lives. And if I didn't know anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what it did in my life, then the testimony that I have of this changed life. You want proof? You want proof? Ask anybody who knows me before Jesus came in. You want evidence? You want some evidence about it? You ask somebody who saw my life before Jesus came in. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know everything, but one thing Rob Betts does know, that Jesus made his life better. And if you'll ask him to come into your life, he's no respecter of persons, he'll make your life better too. But how shall they hear without a preacher? It's up to us to go. The world is looking for a light. The world is in darkness. Tonight, my message to you is to just share your light. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Take your light into your workplace. Take your light into your family. Take your light everywhere you go. And don't hide it under a basket. You let it shine for everyone to see. And you show everybody what God did in your life and what He can do in their life. And don't be ashamed of it. And you bring everybody in. The husbandman waited, the scripture says in James 5, for the precious fruit of the earth. And he's got long patience for it. He's just waiting for the harvest to come in. Glory to God. And for revival to happen, it takes people being revived. So sometimes we got to stir ourselves up to remembrance that, hey, we got a work to do. We still got a load to pull. We got some things that we got to take care of. But I'm making a decision that I'm not letting anybody who's within my sphere of influence not hear about Jesus Christ and go out into eternity without knowing Him or having an opportunity to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Glory to God. Be a light. Would you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. Father God, I'm praying for these people in here. We asked for any visitors in here earlier, Lord, and it was all family tonight. Understand that was for a purpose. Lord, but maybe some of us haven't been as diligent as we should have been or should be, Lord, to share our faith with others. But tonight we've been pricked in the heart. There was somebody maybe that you brought up to people that are here in this room tonight, someone that they know in their sphere of influence that needs to hear about their faith in Jesus Christ. As you brought that name up before them, Father God, I thank you for granting them boldness to speak forth those things, Lord, that you've called them to say, to preach the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to every person within their life. Give them the boldness, give them the opportunity, and send laborers across the path of their family. Those laborers may be here in these pews tonight, but you send laborers across their neighbors, their family, their friends. Thank you, Father God, for making us laborers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We'll do it with diligence. We'll do it with fervor more than ever before. And if that's you and you're here tonight, you just say this with me. Say, I consecrate myself once again to take this message, this gospel, into my world. And Father God, those who've declared that in earnest, I thank you for the message of faith, the message of power, and the Spirit of God on the inside to deliver it. In every instance, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need specific prayer about anything, maybe you need to rededicate your life, you're in this room, maybe you snuck in here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, He's your answer. When everybody else, when we dismiss tonight, when everybody else makes their way out this way, if you need prayer, I want you to make your way down this way. Women go to the women, men go to the men. But if you need prayer for anything, rededication, baptism in the Holy Spirit, to be born again, you need healing in your body, whatever it is you need, these folks, these men and women are anointed to pray and agree with you. Believers lay hands on the sick and they recover, and these are believers. They know how to help you to receive the baptism. They can pray you through to rededication. Whatever it is that you need, when we dismiss tonight, you come down. Don't leave here like you came. If you need something different, Jesus is the answer. He's in the building. He is with us. Amen. He is in us, and His power is ever present when we need it. Amen. Is there anything else we got tonight? Guys, we love you. We appreciate you so much. Be back here on Sunday. Love on your church family. Before you go, let them know how much you appreciate them. Look them in the eye and say, I'm going to be more diligent this week than ever before. How about you? God bless you. Have a good evening.